Hey everybody, this is Brian Gregg and Zona Gregg from BZ Food. Hi.
You said my name, so I said hi.
Gotcha. This is Brian Gregg and Zona Gregg from BZ Furfur here for Pyro Toast Detox. This is a very special episode where we have a guest co-host with us today, Mara. Mara, you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone.
This is season 3, episode 2, and today we're going to be talking about community. I will actually, Mara, do you want to give a little intro to yourself and a little bit of context into what makes why community is the subject that you chose for today's podcast?
So, hello everyone. I'm Mara Sky Wolf, and I'm the founder of Woodburn Society, which is a community for woodburning artists. My path to woodburning was a little unconventional, to say the least. So, as a kid, I was not artistic at all. I was not the child, painting and coloring. Like, I was a book nerd, I was a reader. Like, I just loved to read. And in high school, I was in the ceramics class and like I really enjoyed it and I created some cool things. But again, like I never saw myself quite as an artist and decided to go to engineering school. And now the clues about my future artistic leanings were there, but at the time I didn't see it. Like my favorite classes were drafting and doing the CAD and I'd signed up for this club in college, so we built parade floats. And one of the things I got to do is I was building these animatronic sculptures of animals and these different things. Like one of my favorite ones is I got to build this 7 foot tall skunk, and like I had to make sure it moved all smoothly. And like I designed it in the computer, I drew it out, I got the metal and welded it and created all the joints and like. Here I am creating this, skunk sculpture. And like never any part of me was like going like, oh, I'm an artist, I'm creative. I was just like, oh, it's part of being an engineer. You just like, do this kind of thing. So here I am, creating art, not thinking that that's what I'm doing. And I would go on and, I'd continue to do ceramics here and there. I'd do these little projects. But again, like I never felt like, oh, I'm an artist, I'm creating art. And my life kind of took this unexpected turn because I was like, I want to make some Christmas cards. And I was trying to decide how I was going to do it. And all of a sudden, like Black Friday ad pops up for a wood burning kit. And I'm like, well, that would make the coolest Christmas cards. And I only had to do like 15. So I was like, I could do this, not knowing anything about it, just thinking, it's on Amazon. I can buy that. And, create this cool thing. So I buy it, and here I am trying to create these Christmas cards, which, as a first-time wood burner, that's always an interesting thing. You're getting the blobs, the uneven lines, but I'm doing my best and I create these cards, and I'm like, that's cool. And normally I think I would have just like sat it down and not thought about it again. But I was on the web and there was this really cool contest. Razortip was actually putting it on, one of the wood burning machine manufacturers. And I was like, oh, in this next month, here's these 8 words. If you create this, these pieces will enter in you into a raffle and someone's going to win a fume extractor. And I was like, oh, cool, I want to try this. And so, like, I was, it really stretched my creativity because there's these 8 words, and you're seeing how other people are interpreting them. And, I'm trying to do my own version, my own idea. And something in that process, it just clicked. And I'm like, I love wood burning. Like, this is it. Like, this is for me. And, it was kind of the fluke. If I hadn't, seen that contest, maybe I wouldn't be here today. But, like, that little contest and getting to interact with everybody. And seeing all the entries, like it just sparked something special. It sparked, this love of wood burning. And it really started my journey on with community too, because just seeing what everybody else was putting in there, I was like, oh wow, it's so cool to see what other people are doing and how, interacting with these other people in that contest, really just kind of sparked everything for me.
I think a lot of people end up having unconventional careers in wood burning because it is a very niche type of artistic journey. I've noticed that a lot of times, like if you say, watercolors or acrylics, people end up, they do that because they learned how to do it in school or they're mimicking artists that they love. Whereas wood burning, it's a much more close-knit community and you have to kind of seek it out, which I think is one of the reasons why community is so important because without that kind of community outreach, without there being places for people to find other wood burners, it could be really challenging to try to connect with other people and find out what they're doing, right? I mean, you, Zona, you started out kind of seeking community, seeking people to share your work with or learn from, right?
Yes, I wanted to learn from other people. I wanted to be able to talk to other people, learn from other people, get tips and tricks from other people who did it before me, who knew better than I did. I'm a visual learner, so I needed to. Like I hear about a technique and I read about it and it would say, well, you're gonna hold it like this and do this. And I tried to bit like think about it and visually like see it in my head. And I couldn't, it didn't make, like I couldn't make it make sense in my head, but I need to see it in my head. Like I need to see it. And I just couldn't see it. And but I needed someone to show it to me. So it was like I wanted to find people that I could be like, well, how do you do this? Or I wanted, I'd look at books and websites and it'd be like the same techniques, the same patterns. And it was like, there's got to be more. What more can be done? And that's why I wanted a community. I wanted to talk to other people. I wanted to see what else can be done. I wanted to immerse myself in it. I wanted questions to be answered because it was like, well, what about, what other wood can you use? Like, how do you fix this problem? Well, what about, when this happens, what can, how do you fix this? I was like, there's gotta be people who can answer this question instead of me sitting here for hours on end trying to find an answer on the internet. I mean, yes, I could sit here and find the answer. I mean, clearly we can. I mean, the internet is a big wide, big world, but it's like, why? When I could just probably find a community. I mean, woodworking is very closely related to what we do as pyrographers, because a lot of what we do is on wood, but it is also very niche because it's very closely related, and a lot of what we do is on wood, but it is not woodworking.
So, Mara, you kind of talked a little bit about what, how you got into community. So beyond just Razor Tip and the contest, was there something else about like any other communities out there that really drew you in? Or I know some people start with Facebook groups or on Instagram, connecting with other people on Instagram, were you able to find other communities where you can connect with other wood burners?
Well, that was one of the first things I did is after that challenge, I was like, well, I want to interact with people more. Like I wanted that same vibe to continue. So I went and joined all the social media groups. Like, they're like if you go and scan, there's a lot of them. I probably joined 10, 12 pyrography groups. And I started following everybody on Instagram. And what I found though was that like the community didn't really have that depth I was looking for. Like this one pyrographer, she was working on this really cool piece of a football player. And so here I am in the comments, and like every time she posted, I'm like writing stuff and trying to understand and like trying to build a relationship. And I'm like, this is not the best way to do this. Like, I'm trying to build a relationship through Instagram comments. And now she was great. She responded, but I was like, it just like I felt like something was missing. Same thing with the Facebook biography groups. Like, they were great, but again, like Facebook with its feed, like they rarely showed up. I rarely saw a post from them. Like, here I am, saying I want to see it all, but it rarely showed up. And so I was like, well, this is great, but it wasn't really working for me. I tried going there first for community. And I think there are some really great groups. There's people doing great things. It just didn't happen to really work that well for me and what I was looking for. 'Cause like, I wanted a deeper relationship. I want to know the people who, and be able to ask for tips and techniques and, kind of pick people's brains. And online, I don't know, I was just feeling like it was a little harder to do that.
I think it is. I think that with some of the social medias, you're at the mercy of the companies that are running it, right? You're at the mercy of the algorithm, and trying to get yourself embedded in those communities that way, it's extremely difficult. I think it used to be easier. 10 years ago, you could follow people on Facebook and their stuff just showed up in your feed. Now they try to make assumptions about what it is that you want to see, or based on your viewing habits, then you just end up getting all kinds of weird stuff. So I think having dedicated communities to these type of things are it's important. Reddit is another one that has a lot of communities, but even that, it's getting watered down and it's filled with bots and other stuff that is just, ends up putting ends up with a lot of noise. But I think, that's really great. Do you think, hun, the community?
I think social media, I mean, the internet is, like I said, it's a big wide world out there. And I mean, during the lockdown, that's where I found choreography. I think that's where a lot of people, at least a lot of people that I know, I mean, during lockdown, where we were all trapped, and it was, what are we going to do with ourselves? A lot of people, either they lost their jobs or they had to, some people were lucky they could work from home, but then it was a lot of, well, I can't go out, I need to socialize, what am I going to do with myself? People found a lot of hobbies. It was like, well, I still need community, I still need to socialize. How am I going to socialize? And for me, it was, well, I'm changing my entire life. So what am I going to do with myself? Wanted to learn something new because I did teach myself all of my multitude of hobbies, and art forms that I do know. When I chose choreography, I dive right in because I'm obsessive. That's my nature. And I wanted a community. And I mean, I found Woodburn Corner. That was the, and I found the summit. It was a godsend to me, and that's where my obsession started. That was the community that I found. Yeah, that was where my
Yeah,
that was where my obsession
and I think it's
started.
important to have like a wide range of places to meet people and talk to people and get different perspectives. What about for you, Mara, personally? What does community mean? Like, what do you think of when you think of a community that you want to be a part of?
When I think of like an art community, I think of like, I want a place where I'm going to go in and feel like inspired and like motivated to try new things. Because like when I see, cool pieces come up, I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. Or like Zona sometimes uses like the metallic paints, and I'm like, I hadn't thought about doing that. That's really awesome. Like, I want those ideas to like flow. So being able to see people's processes and, when I was newer to it, like I definitely wanted those resources of like, how do I do this? What are some tips? I wanted some of that. And So like some of those are like important, but to me it's like really building the relationships. And you know, Zona mentioned COVID, and I think during COVID, like online communities became very important. But I also don't want to minimize like in-person community, because for me that is really big, and as an artist has like really kind of helped push me forward. And so like being part of a local networking community, because you'd go at first like, well, what would hanging out with realtors and business owners and all these things as an artist, how would that necessarily push you forward? But it turns out the realtor needs closing gifts. So here I am, I'm able to help her produce art. There's a restaurant and it's got a chef and he's a wildland firefighter and he wants a commission. And like, if I wasn't hanging out with these people, you know, and there's ones that are like, hey, I do this farmer's market, I think you'd make a killing. I can introduce you and get you a spot in there. So again, it's like meeting these people. Now, I went to a networking group. I've also got a lot of great connections through like a spiritual community. But I do think sometimes you need those in-person communities where you can talk about your art, because there is going to be those people that you maybe wouldn't necessarily think, you know, that they're going to help you. But if you want to sell your art, I feel like that's a good way to start to build the connections. And people are like, hey, have you heard about this show? Hey, what about this? Like, you get people bringing you ideas as an artist, and as a, you know, if you're trying to do it more as a business and bring in money, like having those extra ideas coming in is also really valuable. So it's like, I feel like you need an on, like the online community is great because you get to meet the other pyrographers, the people that, you know, you're not as likely to meet in person, or you meet one or two. Whereas, you know, in an online community, you can really meet, you know, a wide breadth of artists and really get inspired. Because once you see all the different things that are people are creating, it's pretty amazing, you know, from the photorealism to the, you know, anime stuff to, you know, Celtic knots. Like when you see the variety in depth and realize all the different things you can do, like community just makes me excited. Like it just pumps me up and like, yay. And it increases my to be burned list, like, you
Oh
know,
God, yeah.
my list of ideas, like, you know, every time I'm seeing people create stuff, it just grows.
And I think just to add to that for in-person communities, I think one of the things that we've noticed is that there's a lot of opportunity to engage with like the art community. So Zona is part of the Guild of Charlotte Artists. We participate in the Union County arts community. We've found that there's a lot of opportunity to get exposure and get ideas and make connections through the art community as well, which is actually very interesting because a lot of people don't think of pyrography when they think of art. So it actually, although it sometimes can be a little bit more difficult to kind of embed yourself in those communities, once you do, you really have something that sets you apart and makes you unique and makes you a noticeable. Like people recognize when they go to like we enter one of Zona's pieces into an art show and it's hanging up over at the Episcopal Church. People come in to take a look at the art that's on display. It's amazing when somebody looks at that, and that must be one of Zona's pieces because they've seen her work before. So it's super cool. As far as community, now I know you have been working on a community yourself, and how has that been? What has it been like to build Woodburn Society?
Well, because we're just hitting our first year anniversary, which is kind of exciting.
Ooh.
This is,
When is the
yeah,
anniversary?
when is the anniversary? March 21st.
Oh, wow. This is going to air just in time for the anniversary.
Yeah, right
Perfect
after.
timing.
Right after the anniversary. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. And so building it has been, you know, there's always the starting anything new, there's always the ups and downs. Like, you know, you just know going in. And, you know, there's like technical stuff, you know, the back end that you have to set up. But I mean, the first thing is just really trying to create a space that feels safe, that people feel like, yeah, I can post my artwork here. And I don't have to, like, sometimes on Facebook, I would get trolls. Like, you get people's comments and things. And it's like, once you have that happen a couple times, people get a little shy, shied away. So I want them to know, like, when you come into this community, it's like safe and that we really are wanting people of all levels. 'Cause I think, sometimes too, if you're new, you're like, ooh, do I fit in this community? You might go, can I go to the local artist community? 'Cause like, I'm beginning, like sometimes there you have that a little imposter syndrome. So I wanted to create a space that was, really welcoming to people of all levels. And really, I also wanted it to be a place where people encourage each other. Because like I know it's like sometimes just having a few nice comments on your piece of work, especially as a beginner, like makes all the difference. When someone's like, oh, I like that. That's nice lines. All of a sudden you're like, oh, someone like noticed my piece. And even a simple 2-3 word comment can, really brighten up someone's day. So like I wanted to, create a community where things like that could happen. And unlike, maybe Facebook or social media, I made sure I got a platform where the gallery, like people could go in and see all the time and their artwork's not disappearing. And so it doesn't, because like sometimes on art, on Instagram or Facebook, you post something and within a few days it's gone and maybe it hasn't reached that many people. I wanted a, really a space where everybody's artwork, has a chance to get seen.
For people who don't know what Woodburn Society actually is, tell us or describe what Woodburn Society is.
Oh, okay. I jumped ahead. So Woodburn Society is, I've got an online membership. So when you join the online membership, you get to be part of the Burnt Art Hub. And inside the hub, there's a gallery space where people can do their upload their work. So you've got an area for finished pieces, you've got an area for pieces in progress. There's also tips and tricks. I've got some history, because I'm interested in the history and like when it started and how it's evolved. And then there's also a community forum where we've got these burning questions, so it gives a opportunity people an opportunity to share about themselves, share about what's happening in their life, so we get to know them as people too, not just as a piece of art. And there's forums and places where if people want they can ask questions, and I'm sharing tips and what I've learned. So it's really this online community environment that I've built up and created. And for new people, there's templates if you want to have help and ideas of some place to start, because I know when you first start sometimes it's intimidating looking at a blank piece of wood, not sure where you're going. So I just wanted to have a few pieces there that people would be free to use and modify and do whatever they would like with to get them started.
I think one of the things that's really interesting about just communities in general. I am as far removed from pyrography as you can be. I'm a web developer, an IT guy, a digital artist. Everything that I do is, is all purely, on the computer. But even then, when you're learning something new and you join these communities, especially when they're more niche communities where there's a strong sense of camaraderie and this sense of encouragement where people are boosting each other up, I have found that when you're newer to the community, sometimes that's the best time to actually be sharing your. Because that's when you're talking about the things that you've just learned. You're brand new to them. These aren't things that you've done a million times. And that actually ends up being beneficial to other people to hear somebody describe how to do something when they just learned it themselves, because they're going to explain it to you in terms that are probably going to make the most sense to you. So building that community that includes, not just seasoned, professionals who have been doing this for the better part of their life, but including those, those people who are newer to the hobby and giving them a voice sometimes is what other people who haven't quite made the leap to, actually start creating need to give them that sense of encouragement.
Yes. But what I wanted to say, what I wanted to talk about with Woodburn Society is, I like how you simplified your society. You really did simplify it so much. But it's so much more robust than that. With the gallery, it's like with the gallery, you what I love so much about the gallery is that you give all of the members like the opportunity to just upload whatever they want. And I love the fact that you give them the opportunity not just to upload it, but you give them the chance to like put it with the description. And then we get to like have some very interesting conversations about them. I like the format that you have it. It has a classic feel to it, but it's nice. It's so nice. I like it. I love the fact that like you have your templates, like your template library. I was going through it a couple of weeks ago because I was like, oh, what kind of templates do you have in there? Because I remember when I first went into it, I was like, oh, cute templates, and I was flipping through it, and I went in it a little while ago to see what additional templates you had through it. I was like, holy cow, you added so many new ones. But it's what templates you had on there. I didn't realize how many more templates you had on there. It's just the variety of templates that you had on there. You have what looked like molding templates, like crown molding templates on there now. You have like your really simpler templates. You have more ornate templates now. You've got like Celtic, and you have simpler ones. You have the more ornate ones, and just the variety. It was like I was like, wow, I've like got to sit and like squirrel down into that template like hole, and I was like, let me unbury myself because I've got other things to do right now. I did not prepare to go down that particular squirrel hole, but I was like, let me
If
get on there and like go into the
preparing
form.
yourself every day to go down a squirrel hole, you're doing something wrong because
No, but
there's not a day that goes by
I
that
squirrel
you
a lot.
end up
I know. I'm so bad at
not
that.
15 waypoints away from where you initially intended to start the day.
Yes, but there are days that I intentionally like I set aside particular time to squirrel. I had not put time aside to squirrel down the template rabbit hole. I went onto the website to go into the forum and post. That was my intention that day. I was like, let me go into Woodburn Society and post because I haven't posted in like forever and a day and I need to post. So let me go in and post. And that was my intention. While I'm in here, let me look at the templates real quick. It was not real quick, but that's not the point. I was like, let me go into the forums because I haven't posted in like forever. But that was the thing. It was just let me go into the forums because it's not just one forum. It's you have topics upon topics upon topics, and that's what's so great. It's just like have was a question of the week now, and then
Yes.
it's like you have your tips and tricks now, and then you have all like brand new topics now, and then you have like specific questions. I could spend all day in these forums, and it's like almost like, oh, you know what it reminds me of? Reddit for pyrographers. That's why I love it so much. I just figured out what it is.
That's what goes into a community. What are some of the things that make building a community challenging?
I think one of the Because we're kind of new, so like getting that word out is always a little interesting because, even if people, sign up for a guide, still like most people, you're lucky if you get a 20 to 30% open rate on email. So that means, 80% of the people aren't seeing stuff, because
20,
all our inboxes get,
I'd sell my left arm for a 20% open rate on emails.
I know, but it varies. Like, when you get that 20%, you are happy. But I mean, that means 80% of the people aren't reading it, aren't seeing it. So even though they might be interested, they're not getting that message. I mean, social media, you make a lot of posts there, but it's even worse. Like, you make a post, and even if people are following you, I mean, if you had 10%, you would be like having, celebrations. Like, it really doesn't get out to your followers that much. So to just get the word out, about different events, about the community, I feel like that's one of the harder parts. And, it's also, just the messaging, because it's like, I want that balance, because it's like, I want to attract in, the new wood burner so we can help them answer their questions. They can be inspired. And I also want to draw on those who've been doing it for a while, that are kind of more those. They may not feel like experts, but I see them as experts. They're doing the fairs like Zona, she's in a museum. Like, they're having, a level of success that a lot of new beginners would look up to and go, wow, they're the expert. And so I want to get both groups. And so it's a little, I always feel like the messaging is a little bit difficult because it's like what would appeal to a beginning artist isn't maybe the same thing that appeals to the person who's been doing it for a long time. So, just getting that message and really letting people know that it's out there.
I think
And
we're
then
all
I,
an expert. We're all an expert to somebody, right? Like
yes.
everybody's an expert to somebody, and everybody looks up to somebody else, for where their next step is going to be, right? That's the great thing about a community is that you're always going to have those sort of mentor-mentee relationships.
It's something that I did notice when I was at a market once. I was burning something, and I had a young lady come up to me, and she was so fascinated as she was watching me burn, because I try to burn on site as much as possible. One, it keeps me busy, and it attracts people, and it brings awareness. And a lot of the time at the markets, they encourage like art on spot. So I had one young lady come up, and she was watching me, and she was asking me questions while I burn. And she was like, "Oh my God, you're so good," and very complimentary. But she was talking about how much of an expert, quote unquote, I was. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm not an expert. I'm thinking about like Manisa Robinson, and I'm thinking about like all these other people in my head. I'm like, oh my God, they're experts. I'm not an expert. Like, I could do so, I mean, I could be so much better. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, well, yeah, but a year ago I wasn't as good as I am today, right? And I was thinking, well, but to her, I'm an expert, right? And I'm like, you're an expert to somebody. And that's just the thing. You're always going to be an expert to somebody at some point.
Anybody who's ever put a wood burner to a piece of wood is an expert compared to me, if that makes anybody feel better.
Who he has, by the way, have actually burned something.
She doesn't let me touch her tools.
I won't let him touch my razor tip, but he has burned something.
It's
It
actually what I wood burned is hanging up in the garage.
exactly.
It was our the name of our business. I just wrote it like on a like a piece of scrap wood, and that
It
became
was on
the
a piece of
yeah that
wood.
became our start the sign for our studio, and it's been up there ever since.
Yes. He was the first person to board burn our the name of our business. And he burnt it on a piece of lumber, and then he nailed it to the wall in our studio, in our garage, which
I
is
mean,
my studio.
you need to have branding in the studio.
Yes, so that's what we did.
I'm in charge of marketing and branding. That's an executive
Literally.
producer. That's an executive producer credit. What other things are challenging? I think that's a big like a big question. Like you mentioned about getting your name out there and getting exposure and I mean, that's a big part of not just building a community, but just getting yourself out there and finding people and being discovered. What other things do you find challenging about getting the community where you want it to be?
You know, one of the other kind of challenges too is there's a lot of us artists that are natural introverts. Like, you know, 10 years ago, like I would have been like, community? Like, let me run the other direction. Like, that's scary. Like, I don't want to be part of a community. Like, they're going to judge me and this and that. And I'm going to feel drained afterwards. So I think it takes a little work to get us, you know, the natural introverts or, you know, maybe neurodivergent. Like, there's different reasons why. That, like, I think sometimes it takes people a little bit of time, and you got to really hear the benefits and, like, real to really understand why, you know, maybe joining a community is really what you need. Because, you know, if you feel safe and kind of happy, you know, where you're at, until you really realize that there's a benefit to kind of stepping out of your comfort zone and joining a community, building those relationships, you know, and putting the time, spending the time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who are less inclined to participate in social activities, kind of find art as a compelling alternative to going out and interacting with humans, right? Like that's I think that's a big reason why. You know, a lot of people turn to art because it's something that they can do independently. It's something that they can do where they're kind of setting their own pace. They, you know, they can think, they can be alone with their own thoughts and feelings and express them in a way that's that they feel comfortable with. But I think at the end of the day, we all need that social interaction. And especially when you're a full-time artist, you don't get that interaction. As if you have like your own studio, if you got a shared studio space or something like that, you see people all day long. But I mean, if you've just got a studio, and we've talked to so many artists who just have a studio in their garage or, you know, just work out of their, you know, shed in their backyard. And they can go days without talking to somebody other than, you know, maybe their significant other if they're married. You know, having that way of reaching other people and commiserating with them and sharing your successes and sharing your struggles is so important to your, you know, your mental health and your growth and just everything that is going to make you a better artist.
Yeah. I mean, I worked in retail and customer facing jobs for so many decades that I joke around that it's almost like it sucked the peopling out of me. Like I've become such an introvert. Because I just don't have the patience for a lot of peopling anymore, and I love being an artist and staying at home and arting, and I joke around with my good friend Jill, who's also an artist. She's a full-time artist, and it's funny because she calls me, she texts me, she's like, hey, do you want to get, you know, go have dinner? Do you want to have lunch? Whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to go. I have this to do. I have that to go. And Brian will be like, you should go have lunch. You should go do this. And I'm like, but I don't want to. And he's like, no, you should really go have lunch with her. And I remember one night I was just like, I'm gonna go have dinner with her because I felt really bad because I kept pushing her off and I kept pushing her off. And I was like, I'm being a really bad friend because I had pushed her off and I kept like canceling on her. And I was like, no, I really need to. I'm under a deadline, but I'm being a really bad friend and I really need to not. I need to go have dinner with her. And I knew she was going through something. So I went to go have dinner with her. And it was funny because we sat and we had dinner and you just started cracking up. I didn't realize that I just needed to go out and laugh. And I was like, thank you for dragging me out of my house and out of my studio because what I really needed was just a girl's dinner. And I just needed to get out of my head and out of myself, out of work, and just have a girl's dinner. And she was like, yeah, I know you did. That's why I kept trying to get you out of your studio. And I just knew you needed to get out of yourself for a hot minute. Now you can go back to work now. That's pretty much what she said. And it was just really funny. And I was just like, yeah, because I can go introvert and just lose myself and lose my sanity. But sometimes you just need community because you just need someone to save you from yourself.
Well, yeah, that's why I love my local networking group. Like once a week, I'm going out and talking to them. Like the first couple of times, I was nervous because I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to fit in here. And then it's been great. Like now it's something I look forward to. It's that break. But I think, an online community like Woodburn Society is kind of good for people who aren't sure yet. Because like you can be in your pajamas at 3 a.m., writing in the forum or downloading a template. It's kind of low pressure. It can fit into your life whenever you have that moment or you feel like, yeah, I've just finished a piece. Like, I want to share it. Or, like, I'm at a point, I've got it, or like, I want to share it in the in progress gallery so people can see, where I'm at. Because some of those pieces, and this is why I think, being in a community is important too, is we look at a piece and see all the little black dots and go, ooh, that person spent hours to do that background. Or someone else just goes, oh, it's a nice dark background. Like, they don't understand, like, the sweat and tears, or you see all the little fur lines, you go, ooh, someone likes been like I feel like we have so much more appreciation for the art because we do it. We understand that, the time and effort that's being put in.
Oh, 100%. I know, like, when I finish a piece, like, I'll show him, and then he watches, and he's just like, oh, that's great. And I know he's watches it, and he appreciates my art, but he doesn't know. He'll never know because he doesn't do it. Like an actual person who does it, another choreographer will know. Oh my God, the stippling, the fur. How many lines did that take? You know what I mean? Like, and what nib did you use? And what temperature? And he'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? Right? Where we know. Right. And we'll just go into like these details. And he's just like, you are talking a completely different language. Right. And we'll just go into these numbers and all these little details. And he's just like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right. But like, I'll finish a piece and then I'll be like taking pictures and I'll be going into the forums and I'll be going into like, oh, I gotta show my friend in Discord, or I'm gonna post this in Woodburn Society, or I gotta post this because I'll know that somebody, one of my pyro friends, will get it. They'll see the shading and they'll get it. They'll see the lines and the stippling and whatever, and they'll get it.
Now, if I could just get you to take those pictures so that I have something to post on social media, that would be lovely.
I am so bad at, like, I'll do a custom order and I'm so bad at this. I am so bad. He yells at me about this because I will do a custom, especially if I have to ship it. I will do a custom order and I will be completely finished and I will take it and I'll grab a box and I'll grab the box and I'll do the thing and I'll put it in the box to make sure it fits in the box. And I'll pack it because I have to weigh it because I got to do the label. But then I'll completely pack it so I can weigh it. And then I tape it and then I ship it.
So,
But I've forgotten to take the picture first.
Mara, Zona has okay. So, just little info about our studio. Zona has, do you know those baking racks that they use? Like if you go into like a kitchen, like a commercial kitchen, they have
Yes.
those where you could slide the trays inside of them. So she has one of those, it's about 6 feet tall. And she has all of these trays, like trays that you would use for prepping food on. And she uses that as her staging area when she's working on things. So she'll make a piece, she'll burn it, maybe she'll paint it. But you know, as it's drying, it goes in there, and she's got like this space heater that faces there, and this like plastic that hangs over it. I go out there all the time, and I pull out a tray. I'm like, "Can I take pictures of this? It's not done yet." Okay, slide up. I can't take pictures of it. It's not done yet. Okay, come back the next day. The piece is gone. I'm like, "What happened to that piece?" She's like, "I shipped it." I'm like, "I thought it wasn't done." She's like, I put the shellac on it last night, and or the polyurethane on it last night, and I shipped it out." And I'm like, "Did you take a picture of it?" She's like, "I think I did." And then she goes looking through her phone, and she's like, "I didn't take a picture of it." And I'm like, "Can you call the person and ask them if they could take a picture of it after it goes up, and if we can use it for social media?"
So now what he does is that he'll just go like a little sneaky picture goblin, and he just starts taking pictures.
I just
And
take pictures if it's done or not.
he'll just take pictures. He'll be like, "Oh, by the way, I just took pictures of that piece that was sitting on the on your Lazy Susan." And I'm like, "You know that's not finished, right?" He goes, "Yeah, I know, but I took a picture of it anyway."
And
And I'm like,
you know
"Okay."
what, that still people still appreciate it online. Most people are perfectly fine, even if it doesn't have the polyurethane on it, even if it doesn't have the paint. Sometimes they even before it's painted, they're just happy to see the piece. Just to see the burn itself.
And a lot of the time that's I've just gotten used to it. But no, but I it's part of why I love the community though, because I do love going on and just like when I love going on and just like when I've got a brain block. You know when you have that brain block when you're like, what's the next thing I want to burn? Like, you know, you have that mental like list
List, yeah.
of like, what am I gonna, oh, I'm gonna burn that next. You see something and you put it on the to-do list because everybody's got that to-do list,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Yeah.
You've got the like the whole like 500 page book of things that you want to burn. And then as soon as you're done with something and you're like, all right, I'm done with that. What am I gonna burn next? And then all of a sudden that to-do list has gone somewhere. And you're like, oh shoot, what am I gonna burn next? And then you just go on to like the forum, the community, and you're just flipping through and you're like, oh, there's the next thing that I'm gonna do. But I like looking at just what other people have done and just seeing. I just like I but I also like to just see other people's work because I like to appreciate what other people are working on. I like to see the new artists out there. I like to see how other people are arting. I love that.
Is arting a verb?
I have made it a verb, so there we
Yeah,
are.
I think it is. I think, once you join the community, arting becomes a
Exactly.
verb. Yeah, it's
It
part of the
becomes a verb.
dictionary.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Arting.
We're
Arting.
arting.
I don't do much arting.
I mean, I've used some of the templates. I believe two of the templates that I've gotten from Woodburn Society, I have done, and I've put them on coasters and I've put them actually in frames. People love them.
Were those the Celtic knot? The Celtic harp?
Triquetra.
Oh, those ones. We actually, those two pieces, those sold at Christmas time. So we did Old Mecklenburg Brewery, which is a big Christmas market here in Charlotte. And this lady came by and she saw the one and she absolutely loved it. And she had the two of them in her hands, and she's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, she decides on the one that she wants. She buys it. She made an effort to come back to
Yes.
get the second one.
She bought one. No, she bought one the one night. And she made the trip the next day. And she was just like, I know I should have just bought the sec. I knew I should have just bought the second one last night. I came back today specifically just to get this one. And I was like,
I think you're right because I think she came back on the day that it was raining.
I was just like, weren't you just here last night?
Very sweet lady.
Yeah, she was. It was, but yeah.
What do you feel is missing from community? From n not necessarily what do you think would be important to really help the Pyro community grow? What do you think that what would if you had one thing that you could add to the Pyro community to really bring it into its own, what would you bring?
One of the things that I think the Pyro community really could use is like some of the publicity that it really deserves. Like, I want to see woodburn art hanging in museums. I want to see when you go to a gallery show that mine's not the only piece there. Like, I would love for there to be more pieces. So part of that is getting, getting the work out there so people see what's possible. Because I think, people, there's some people when I say woodburn, they're like, oh, I tried that when I was a kid and I kind of scribbled on something. Like they don't think about like what it really could be. Like they haven't got to see all the great artwork that's out there. So I really feel like, getting our work noticed so that then it spreads. So, and also there's part of me, and I haven't launched it yet, but eventually like I want to work with kids because I want to get like that next generation of like woodburners going. Because I feel like that's important is to really encourage, more people to get into it, no matter their age, whether it's kids, adults, because it's so versatile. There's so many different things that you can do with it. I mean, I love doing more of the wall art, but you can do furniture, you can do a comb, you can do, a border of a mirror. Like there's a lot of different ways that, you can put it. Put it into your life, different objects you create. So I think that's really what I want the community to see is the fine art aspect of it. And also that, like, if you want to do it, there's a lot of different angles and ways you can, use wood burning and bring it into your home and into your life.
I think one of the biggest challenges with because we've explored what it would take to do classes, right? We've tried we're part of the local maker space, and they do classes all the time for different things, pottery, glass, stained glass, just a whole variety of the 3D printing. They have all these different classes, and the facilitator was actually interested in doing a wood burning class, having Zona do a wood burning class. The challenge is getting the materials, right? You have to get a unit for everybody to burn with, and that can be cost prohibitive unless you're going to pay for it out of pocket. And trying to because again, it's kind of a circular issue, right? People aren't interested in it because they don't know that it exists. They don't know that it exists because there's nothing out there for them to learn about it. There's nothing out there for to learn about it, so they're not interested. And it's just like if you can get over that hump and get something out there to gain people's interest, get them actually doing it, get them to, have fun doing it, and then maybe they go out and share it with other people. I know we saw that work with the stained glass. There's a lovely woman at our makerspace who does stained glass, and she does classes. And I mean, you don't see a lot of people do stained glass, like you don't hear about that the same way that you hear about other art, but there's a ton of people who have gotten into stained glass because she's teaching it there. And now all of a sudden it's like a thing. And I think that's sometimes what you need. You just need somebody to advocate for you.
I mean, Stingless was starting to make a comeback, and McKenna was starting it just at the right time.
Yeah.
And we made the introductions for her right at the exact right time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great, and it's great for her. And I guess maybe it's just not the right time for us, but it'll come. It'll come.
But that's it. You just need somebody. You need somebody to push and to advocate for it. And you need somebody to put it out there. And like you said, Mara, you know, getting it spotlighted in shows, right? We had a one of Zona's pieces, The Lighthouse, was in a juried show, and beautiful piece was hanging up in. It was a beautiful piece, and but you know, it didn't win. Completely understandable. There were some that were being judged, and didn't win. And I pulled the juror aside, and I asked him. I said, what's your thoughts on this piece? I said, and just to kind of get his perspective. And what he said was, he goes, I actually really like this piece. It's a beautiful piece, but you know, it didn't have the color. It didn't have, and I think that's part of education about wood burning that needs to change in order for there to really be the same respect for it that there is for other art forms. Is that, yes, maybe the color wasn't there as brightly colored as the other pieces, but that's because, you know, we weren't trying to over, you know, she wasn't trying to overshadow the technique and, you know, the beauty of the burned lines, right?
I mean, could the colors have been a little bit brighter? In my opinion, yes. But you know, as an artist, we always look at our pieces and we're just like, oh, we see all the faults, quote unquote, right?
Yes,
And
of
we
course.
see all the things that we would like to change. Fair enough. I have resigned myself to the fact that unless I pulled out some kind of absolutely show-stopping piece of art, and even then I don't know what would be classified as show stopping at this point. I've resigned myself to the fact that I don't know if there's anything that I could really do that would ever win a juried show. And that's not because I doubt my skills. It's because if I ever entered a show against quote unquote classical art, I don't think I'd ever win simply because it's against classical art, right? Watercolors and acrylics and the more classical art, simply because I don't think, because people don't,
They don't understand it.
they don't, I don't even know if it's necessarily that they don't understand pyrography. It's like comparing apples to oranges.
But I mean,
Do you know, like, how do you, I think you're trying to compare photography to painting. How do you really compare the two art forms?
and I think photographers share a similar struggle.
That's what I mean. Like, how do you compare, like, if you're gonna compare the two art forms in the same juried show, I find it very hard to justify how you put those two art forms in the same juried show with one judge that only knows one art form. Does that make sense? Like, if your judge is trained in painting and doesn't really know anything about photography, right? Like composition
Right.
and background, like how is that fair? Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's what irks me about some of a lot of the juried shows. It's you don't know about blank form of art. So that's what irked me about that juried show. And that's what irks me overall about a lot of these juried shows where it's one judge, right? Like, I think it needs to be broader, or like maybe in a multiple judges or something where it's a little more fair. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like if you've never done pyrography, how can you judge my work if you've never seen it, if you don't have any knowledge of it? Just like if you've never done photography, how can you judge it? If you've never done painting, how can you judge it? That's how I feel. So like it just doesn't make any sense to me. But that's a whole nother like podcast. That's a whole nother episode on
I mean, I think it has to do with what we're talking about, which is what's missing from the community. One of the things that's missing from the community is that
education.
education, and that what Mara was talking about, which is the inclusion of pyrography as a I hate to say a legitimate art form, but unfortunately, a lot of artists, they don't consider art forms outside of those traditional mediums to be legitimate art forms, because one of our best friends is a digital artist. We actually just went to an opening for a show that she has in a local brewery. I have several of her pieces hanging up in my office. And she struggles to really be able to break into the art world if she doesn't adhere to, using more traditional mediums. And that's a shame.
I thought it was very interesting that she told me, and I didn't know this, as a photographer, because she's a professional photographer, she we were having a conversation, and she was saying to me, she was just like, well, she's like, yeah, I've put in for, she was talking about how she was looking into this particular show, and they specifically said no digital art or a digital photography, I think, or something like that. And I was just like, well, that was odd. And she was just like, yeah, they don't consider digital photography an actual art. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, that's not it. And it wasn't until recently that they considered digital photography a legitimate art. And I was just like floored. I was like, are you serious? She goes, yeah, that wasn't until recently. And I was like, but how long have we had digital cameras? I'm completely confused. And she was just like, yeah. And I mean, I never thought about it, but then again, I'm not a photographer, right? Like I didn't think about this. And I haven't, I haven't thought of, I'm not a, I haven't thought about in a professional sense, because I didn't enter the art world as a professional until recently. But I was like, that's crazy. And since I made this my career, I didn't think about how many different forms of art there are that are just not considered actual art. Like how many snobs, art snobs there are. Like in
Yeah,
yeah.
it's unfortunate. But back, I want to just come back around to
Really
community. Yeah, I want to
good
come back
at
around to community.
it.
So, what do you think, Mara, in terms of community, what do you think is required to kind of keep community growing and moving forward at a, at a good pace?
What it could keep a community, evolving and growing, I think the first thing, especially as someone running it, is to really listen. What are people wanting? Are they wanting more templates? Are they wanting more guides? And a community naturally evolves as new people come in. You get one, a couple new artists, and they're all of a sudden they'll spark something new. So it's really like listening and paying attention to the community and seeing where it wants to grow. But the other part I think is like being able to create shared experiences, whether it's, group conversations, whether it's, having topics that pull people together so they start those discussions and start building those relationships. Or, even online gallery exhibits and putting things so people can have that experience. It may not be a physical gallery, but so that they get that chance. So really, I feel to like keep people engaged and involved, it's really helping them to build the relationships. How do you schedule the events? How do you build the topics to get people talking so they know each other and then things can just kind of flourish on their own? Because once a community is alive, it kind of manages itself. People start talking, like collaborations can happen. So once a community kind of hits a certain point, I think it naturally evolves. And as the person running it, you don't have to do that much. You just like you let it evolve and you just make sure nothing's getting out of hand.
I think for me, one of the things that I appreciated very much about, Wood Burn Society, I don't know if you saw the note that I left on one of the forums for you. It was one of the posts that I left. I had answered the what's in store for the new year or post or something. I forget what did. I was talking about what had gone on last year, like why I hadn't been on the site last year very much, and how hard it had been to like keep up with, the social posts. Why I've been like really silent for a lot of the posts last year. But I had said you had reached out to me, you had emailed me, I think once or twice last year, just to reach out and be, you were like, well, I know I'd seen, you post on like Instagram. I saw that you had, you'd done this and you'd done that and whatnot, but no, just checking in with you and seeing, how you were doing, and don't forget, just jump on the forum. You haven't been on the site in a hot minute. I'm just checking in on you and whatever and whatnot. And it was really meaningful. I didn't respond to the email, but knowing that someone notices, in the community, because I mean, I know that the community is pretty large. Like running a website is not, it's a beast all on its own.
Tell me about it.
I mean, yeah, it is. It's a lot of work keeping up with this. There's the front-facing part of it, of running a website, like everything that the public sees. But then there's the back end of it, keeping up with making sure that the codes are working right and making sure that everything else is working right. And then there's, your own personal, burnings that you're trying to do, and trying to make your own money and doing your own things, because you've got your own stuff that's happening. You've got your own personal life. But just to still notice that, like, hey, I haven't heard from this person in a minute, and still taking a hot minute to just email somebody or just reach out real quick and be like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a second. Are you okay? You know what I mean? Like, that still means something, even if that person doesn't reach out right that second. But just to know that is still a community, and to know that somebody noticed, hey, you okay? Like, that means something.
Well, yeah, because I really feel like I'm building a relationship with people and I care about the people in the community because I reached out to you and at different points I've reached out to different people. And the one person had been in the hospital, was having to sell their house. There was like
Wow.
all this stuff happening in the
Yeah.
background. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you shared that and like thank you. And I hope you get back to burning. And like I feel like we're building a relationship. Another person had lost their job, and I'm like, oh yeah, like that's tough. I can see why you don't have, time to be burning. And And as a person, like, I care. Like, I want everybody to succeed. I didn't start a community because, like, I wanted to make money. I started a community because I wanted relationship. To me, that's like the main thing is like, is how can I build connections with these people? And I totally notice when people aren't showing up. And like, I know people need space, but every so often I do like want to reach out and connect and just make sure that everyone's all right. Because, yeah, sometimes you don't know when someone, it's going to help them, for you to reach out and just touch base and make sure they're okay. I mean, there's times in my life I wish someone would have done that for me. So I love being able to give back like that.
How do you feel that being part of this community has changed you as an artist?
So I think how it's really changed me is. Like there's the external that everybody sees, like, oh, I'm getting the ideas. I'm being able to create new stuff. Like I'm getting to share stuff, which is fun. Like there's some of that, which is great. But internally, like where I've really changed is it's like now I feel like I'm really getting to know people and I'm like starting to build these relationships. And I'm like, I've got this friend in Northern Ireland and she's really cool and she does these pieces and you wouldn't believe it. And she hides an eye everywhere. Have I ever met Fallen Ember's biography? No, but I feel like I know her. Like I've seen her artwork. I've seen, she's shared and I feel like I know her. And, Zona and, getting to see the cats in the workshop and, the whole thing, you start to feel like you know people. And so I feel like that's changed me. Like, getting to build these relationships with artists. Because sometimes when you're first doing it, it can feel like you're a little alone. Because you tell people like, oh, I'm doing wood burning, and they kind of like they're interested, but they don't quite get it. Like, because they don't do it, so they don't quite understand. And they're really non-artists. And if you try to be like, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I spent an hour working on the nose of a bear. Like they're like, what the
Can't you do
okay,
that with a laser? Oh. Do you get a lot of that?
Oh,
Can't you do that with a laser?
laser. And I mean, lasers have their place. Like, I am not
Absolutely.
gonna. I love doing like cutouts so then I can wood burn them. Like, lasers have their thing, but I feel like anybody who's picked up something that's hand burned, you can feel the energy, you can see the depth. Like, it's a totally different thing. But yeah, to the non-artist, it's like, let's put an image on the wood. Like, what's the difference? I have seen people that have that. And I'm like, maybe you're just not my people. 'Cause like, if you just want to put the $5, looks like you got it from Dollar Tree, decoration in your home, like that's great. But I'd much rather have something that's got the energy and like an artist actually made. It feels different. When you walk into your house and you look at a piece and you're like, oh, that looks so cool. 'Cause I buy other artists' work, like, and you just see it and it makes you feel good. Like there's an energy that comes off of other
There's
people's
a
work.
story behind it. There's actual you. I always say, to people who question, why do you make things by hand instead of just doing it using a machine? And the answer is always, you can hang this up in your house and you can tell people, I know the person who made this. I met them. I spoke to them. They told me what it was that compelled them to make this. They told me what their inspiration was. They knew about the piece of wood. They bought this piece of wood and it has meaning to it because they hand selected it. They picked it. They burned this particular image on it because it aligned with the grains of the wood, with the type of wood, with the type of edging on it, that this had a crack in it, and that crack inspired them to do this particular thing with it. And having that kind of gives the art a soul. And that's not something you're ever going to get with something that comes off of an assembly line. And that's something I learned as just being exposed to the artistic community. And it's something that I didn't understand before then. And I think there's a lot of other people that don't understand that. And that's fine. And I always tell those people, if you want to buy something that's laser burned, hey, at this market alone, I can probably point you to three different booths that have stuff that's laser burned. But if you want something that was burned by hand by somebody who took hours to meticulously make this, is the only place where you're going to find it.
Some people it matters, some people it doesn't.
And that's fine. Like you said, Mara, those are your people, or maybe they're not your people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like when I went to buy my dining room table, I went to a local woodcrafter who, makes the wood. Was it a little more expensive? Yes. But I've got something that's like handcrafted and I'm going to keep with me forever. Versus, yes, maybe I could have saved a couple hundred bucks and got a table that, like, 5 years from now when I move, would I be like, do I need to take this with? No, it just kind of came from the big box store. Who cares? But the thing that was made by someone's hand that, they're distressing it and doing the whole thing, like, it means something more. It's something I want to keep with me.
So, what advice would you give to somebody who's starting out now, who wants to become a part of a community or lead a community? What advice would you give them?
Especially because, where a lot of us are a little introverted, just take small steps. If there's a local group, art group, go once or twice, put your toes in the water, see if it feels right to you. Because here's the thing, there's a lot of communities, and not all of them are going to feel right to you or be, supportive of you. Some art communities, no matter how many times you went, they may not ever truly, appreciate what you're doing, where there's others that are going to embrace you. And I would say the same thing if you're looking for an online community. I mean, check out Woodburn Society, check out some of the other communities, the Facebook groups, and look until you find the one that's got the people who you just really enjoy spending time with, because you want to build those relationships. You don't want it to be forced. And if someone was starting their own community, I just say go for it, because it's great. And I think the more community that's out there, because everybody's going to be attracted to different people. They're going to be like, I love their style. I love the way they teach. I love what they're doing. And so they're going to be naturally drawn there, where maybe someone else, it's just not their style. It's not their person. So my thing would be is explore, look at all the different groups and find the one that you just feel like you kind of fit in with and that makes you happy. And if you're starting one, again, just go for it, and your people are out there. They'll come to you.
So, tell us how people can find you if they want to become a part of your community or if they want to see some of your work.
Sure. So our website is www.woodburnsociety.com. And on there, you will find there's a button where you can learn more about the community and join. It's also got our upcoming events. It's got some of the basic guides there. There's information if people are new and they want to just kind of know what wood burning is. We've got a couple guides for that too. So there's a lot of information for people who are interested on the website. And we always are constantly updating that. So if you haven't been in a while, definitely come back. It's always something a little new. And then we have an Instagram account, which is wood.burn.society. And so on our Instagram account, we love to do featured artists. We want to show off everybody's artwork so everybody gets to see that. We also have tips, and that's where we'll also be putting our community events. So follow on the Instagram, and you'll get the same thing if you follow our business page on Facebook. But we just try to put out a lot of good information out there so that, and that's where you'll see some of our guides advertised.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the community events? What are you referring to when you talk about the community events?
Well, right now we're starting up a new community circle. So you don't have to be a member of Woodburn Society. It's open to anybody who loves wood burning or is interested in wood burning. And so we're going to meet on Zoom, and it's going to happen once a month, and the dates will be on our website. And so we'll get together on Zoom, and you'll get a chance to introduce yourself, tell us what you're working on. Hopefully people have some pieces they can kind of hold up and, show us what their what projects are working on or things that they've done. And, during that period, if they have a question, they'll be able to, kind of bring that out in front of the community. But it's really a chance for us to get to know each other. I feel it's kind of like a chill, relaxing hangout where we just get to know each other. So for anybody, it's like there's no pressure. I know some of us introverts, the thought of like going on a Zoom call and introducing ourselves is it's a little nerve-wracking. This isn't that. This is relaxing. Nobody's going to be judging you. You're just going to show us what you're up to and we'll get to meet each other. And as they evolve, there may be some teaching elements or some tips and tricks that eventually get added. But these first few are just really focused on getting to know each other.
That sounds amazing. I know there's a lot of people who we've spoken to who have been asking for specifically that Zoom meetings where you can just kind of get together. You know who I'm talking about. People who have, just asked for, and how do we have these kind of like in-person face-to-face type of things, when we're so far away from each other? I mean, it would be glorious if there was a way to do like regional get-togethers where you can actually meet in person, but certainly being able to meet over Zoom and be able to see people's face, and even just doing this recording right here. So for those of you who don't know the logistics of recording a podcast, where recording this with Mara over Zoom, and just being able to have this kind of face-to-face conversation is very nice. And Zona always laughs because whenever she's doing any type of an in-person thing, despite my lack of pyrography skills, everybody knows who I am because I'm always poking my head in and waving and, like trying to somehow wedge myself into communities I have no business being a part of. I think it's going to be very nice. I think that people will really enjoy, having that. That there's definitely people out there who are craving that. So I think it's great that that's something that you're going to be doing.
Well, Brian, I have to say, I think you do fit into the community because marketing and doing the web stuff, that is, there's a lot of that behind the scenes work that until you go to do it, you don't realize like how much is really involved. I know there's a lot of people that just even Facebook ads and how do you set that all up? Like it's its own thing. How are you posting? There's a lot of that behind the scenes stuff that I feel.
Oh, I love talking about that kind of stuff, and I love answering those kind of questions for people. But Mara, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to share with our audience opportunities that they have to be able to engage with a broader community of artists. I think what you're doing is super important in kind of giving people that outlet, giving people that place to kind of build up their skills, meet other people, learn from people, teach people. Sorely needed in the community. It's one of the things that I've always felt that there was a lot of opportunity to grow in any community, but I think in such a niche community like pyrography, especially. Did you have any closing thoughts, Zona?
I mean, I think one of the things that pyrography needs is, letting people know how many different, communities there are. That's one of the reasons why we started Pyrotoasty Talks was the fact that there weren't, I mean, there was only one other pyrography podcast out there, and we missed it,
Yeah,
The
if
pyrography moved and we were waiting. I was waiting for it to come back and they didn't, and that it is what it is. And I miss it and I wanted it back. So we decided we're just gonna make another podcast. But that's the thing. There wasn't another one, so we just made one. But you know what? That's what we do. We just made it. It wasn't there, so we made it. But there needs to be more outreach of the pyrography community. So the more people know about pyrography, the better.
Mara, thank you very much for your
Thank you
time.
so much.
Zona, thank you for your time.
Okay.
Yes. So just real quick plugs. As always, you can find us Power Toast Detox at pyrotoastdetox.com. You can also find us on Instagram at pyrotoastdetox. You can find Zona and I on Instagram at bzfurfur or at bzfurfur.com. You can find It's David and Renee on itsdavidandrenee.com or on Instagram at It's David and Renee. You can find Mara and join her community on Instagram at wood.burn.society. And you can find them on their website, woodburnsociety.com. And you can also find our other friends at Woodburn Corner, woodburncorner.com. We are actually going to be working with Woodburn Corner on their Discord to share our podcast, as we've been using our own Discord up until now, but we're going to be moving our Discord over to Woodburn Corner so that we have a another venue to share with the community. So we'll be using their
We're going to
Discord
be partnering with Woodburn Corner.
with the lovely and talented Basha. And we will also, if you are interested in helping to support the podcast, go to pyrotoastytalks.com. We have t-shirts for sale there. Buy yourself a t-shirt. All the proceeds for that go to supporting the overhead for the show. And definitely share the topics that you'd like us to cover. And we'll be looking for guests, looking for ideas for topics for future episodes. And as always, stay toasty.
Stay toasty.